we're supposed to delight ourselves in him, but, and I was sharing this with a patient this week, and it was like a revelation to both of us, but hello, he delights himself in you. I want you to think about everything you did yesterday, all your wicked, wicked ways, your bad attitudes, whatever, your good deed for the day, whatever. He delights himself in you.
Yes.
Think about that. He's not sitting there like,
yes, amen.
That Sherman, gosh, what was I thinking? What was I doing? No, he's like, that's my boy. That's my Sherman. Look at my Sherman. Sorry, right, you're the one I happen to see. Sorry. He delights himself in you.
Yes, he does.
If you really go through this week thinking about that, not only did he create you and forgive you, but he delights himself when he thinks
he
about
does.
You.
Thank you,
so just
Jesus.
Remember that this week when you face challenges, he's delighting himself.
Amen.
We need to delight
you,
ourselves
Jesus.
With him.
Thank you, Jesus.
Save us.
worship power in love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy.
If you want to miss to Sunday school, you can at this time. With Mr. Randy back there. You're a good Mama D. Reminding them, I see you. They get ready to go. She goes, offering. As they were singing that song, the part, let us serve you, I was thinking about how even creation serves God, doesn't it? The tide serves God. The mountains stand there to serve God. The squirrels that get Christy and Bill's corn. They're serving themselves first, but then they're serving God afterwards. I'm sure they're giving thanks for it before they eat the corn. Everything that is created serves God. Everything. The wind that blows is serving God. The birds that chirping are serving God. Creation teaches us all of this. I want to talk this morning. We'll be in John chapter 6. Give me something to believe in. And it's not the old Poison song or Guns N' Roses song, whatever, who sings that? Poison, yeah. Give me something to believe in, yeah. We're not talking about that. We're talking about something real that we can believe in. Bill was talking this morning, it's so on cue, of how we were created to be spiritual, for spiritual things. We were created for that. That's why every one of us in this room, whether you believe in Jesus on the cross or not, all of you in here, I think, believe deep inside there is something more than this. Because we're just created to look that way, to look toward eternity, to hunger for something more than this. You know, we see ourselves in the mirror, and when you're 20 years old, you're all that, right? You're 40 years old, you're half of all that. When you're 60 years old, if you're still here, you pray to God, you're some of that. And when you're 80, you just hope you're still that, period, at all. We go through life like that. And we see our lives change, our bodies change, our circumstances change, our situations change. You know, we go through hard times. You know, I look at our youth of today, our teens and our young people and our children and our 20-somethings that are in here. I look at the generation of what they are facing of such an uncertain world. We have seen in the last 4 months all ball games canceled. We've seen graduations canceled, which I had a graduate this year who is not going to get to experience 13 years of going to school, not in the way that she should have been able to experience it. And it's sad. It breaks my heart. You've got that too. We got several graduates from the church family here this year, 3 or 4 that kind of graduated high school. And it's sad. And so our young people are faced with a very uncertain future of what does life have for me. See, when I first graduated high school, I was so excited to be done with school. I still remember me and Bill walking from North Idaho off that football field together. And I was a little emotional. First time I was a little emotional. And I was sitting there, and I actually teared up a little bit. I know you're going to be like, what? Man, you're done with high school, man. Really? To me, I knew a chapter was closing. And I knew when September came around that I wouldn't be getting up that Monday morning going to school again. So what do I do now? I'm done with school. Oh, my gosh. Welcome to adulthood, right? What do I do? I always had mom and dad take care of me. I always had mom and dad tell me what to do. Mom and dad paid my bills. Mom and dad did this. Mom and dad, and some of us are still doing that for our kids. But, you know, we're like, what do I do now? It's uncertain. Give me something to believe in, because I can't believe in my government. I can't believe in the economy, because the economy may be good today and gone tomorrow, right? The government may be making the right decision we believe in today and the wrong decision again tomorrow. Our car could be going great today and on the side of the road tomorrow. Our wife could be the best person in the world and leave your hind end tomorrow. Our kids could be great and then call you from jail tomorrow. Our situations can change. They're constantly changing. What do I believe in? Do I believe in my wife? I love her, but she's not forever. Do I believe in my job? I like that, but it's not forever. Do I believe in the money and the income I have? I believe in that, and I like it. I think we all would agree we like money. I don't care what you say. If you don't like your money, give it to me. I like it for you. We like money. But my money's not forever. So what is forever? Bill was talking about eating this morning. It's funny talking about fasting and eating. He was talking about when you eat. Sometimes you're so hungry, and you eat too much, too fast, it makes you sick. And we may be hungry. We all will probably be hungry after church today. We'll go get something either at home or somewhere. We'll go get something to eat. We're hungry. We're growling. We'll eat that hamburger, eat that hot dog, eat that fried chicken, eat that whatever you're going to eat. Eat that frou-frou salad, whatever y'all going to eat, you girls, whatever you're going to eat. But it's good, right? It satisfies for a while. But what happens about 5 or 6 o'clock? You're ready for more. Then midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning, you're hungry again. For you younger people, you're eating at 2 o'clock in the morning, right? I remember as a young person going to Waffle House and the old Huddle House. Remember the old Huddle House here in Statesville? We would stock shelves about 1 o'clock in the morning some nights, 12 or 1 o'clock. We would leave there. I'd go to Huddle House, get a huge breakfast, bacon, eggs, hash browns. I mean, I would pack on a $10 meal, right? And then go home and go to bed. And it didn't show. Now if I look at a carrot, just how life is. It's changed. I need something to believe in. I believe my hair would always be with me, and it forsook me, right? I believe I would always never have pain in my body, and sometimes I might be a little stiff or sore. I always believed that life would be great. Me and Melanie got married very young. We had a Cinderella story. She was a young bride. I was a young groom. We were a Christian couple. We got married right after high school, and we bought a little house and had two little kids and had a little dog. I don't know why I'm saying little and everything. We had two in that house. Yeah, sorry, Ashley. Oh, yeah. We got a third one. I forgot about her. No, we had two in that little house. God blessed us. We was living a fairy tale story, right? And then stuff happens, right? Life changes. Give me something to believe in. I want to read in John 6 what Jesus told his disciples. And we're talking about the eternity because none of this is going to remain. We know that. It's all going to pass away. But this that Jesus says will not pass away. John 6, beginning in verse 26. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." Now, right before this is when he fed those 5,000 plus with the fish and bread. And Jesus is saying, you're not following me because of the miracles. You're following me because, man, I gave you instant food. I put a buffet. Can you imagine? All of a sudden, the Lord walks in here and just starts handing out Villagen pizza to everybody out of his pocket. Pizza, 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 pizza. Where are you getting that from? Pizza, pizza. It just keeps on coming. You want more pizza? I'm still hungry. Here's another pizza. He just keeps on. This church would be, the parking lot, the whole 10 acres would be packed if everybody knew Jesus was giving out pizzas next Sunday, as many as you wanted, endlessly. That's not what he was making a point of. He says, I've got something more than what fills your belly. See, we're in a world that is, we've always been in this world, but we're in the flesh, as Bill talked about this morning. We're in the flesh. So we have appetites of the flesh. That's why fleshly things feel good, but fleshly things don't satisfy. We have an appetite for sin because sin makes us feel good in the moment, but it leaves us broken and it leaves us in a dark place. Because sin always leaves us begging for more because it doesn't satisfy. It doesn't fill our lives. We're still wanting more and more of it. This is why many girls, many guys, they give themselves away over and over to people trying to find pleasure, trying to find acceptance, trying to find love. That's why we hit the bars and the alcohol bottles and the drugs. We're trying to find something to bring peace to our lives. And all of that does not bring peace. It brings more problems. So Jesus goes on to say, labor not, don't work for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man, Jesus, shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then they go back to their works mentality in verse 28. They said to him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? How do we earn this, what you're talking about, God? How do we earn this bread which doesn't perish? How do we earn this? He said unto them, this is the work of God. Everybody say that. This is the work of God. It's not the work of you. It's not the work of what you've done or what you will do. It's the work of God. What he came to do, he didn't need our help doing. And we sure don't hold him up and keep him moving forward. He holds us up and keeps us moving forward. He says, this is the work of God, that ye that believe on him, believe on him who hath he sent. And they said, what sign will there be that we may see and believe you? And what will thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus says, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the bread from heaven.
For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Hallelujah. We've got everlasting life because Jesus came down. But I can't see the Lord. You see him in everything you look at. Do you know that insects is the largest group of, they're not called animals. I guess, what are they called? I guess insects. But they're part of the, they're not a human, right? And there are thousands and thousands of varieties of insects. They got some with, what, 20 legs, right? They got the woolly worm with stripe on its back and furry. They got the grasshopper and the praying mantis. All the types of bees and all the types of ants. They got all kinds of, I mean, you think that just happened? It just happened because something exploded one day and all of a sudden, there's a grasshopper. There's a snake. There's a turtle. There's an elephant. There's a rhino. There's a leopard. There's a monkey. There's a gorilla. There's a rhinoceros. There's a hippopotamus. I mean, man, God made them all different, didn't he? Oh, they're so different. He even made penguins where they mate for life. They don't run around on each other. They find one little penguin and they're together all the days of their lives. How beautiful that is. The bear fascinates me. I love the bear. I think how the bear hibernates. Y'all tell me this. If anybody can answer it, how does the bear know when to go hibernate? God, well, yeah, God tells him, then he wakes him up. Yeah, I got you. God tells him. It ain't like the bear's got an iPhone that has an alert message. Hey, Mr. Bear, this is Siri. It's time to go hibernate. No, it just knows. There's a sense in the air that it's time. That's God speaking. This bread which came down from heaven was to give life. Not this life, but everlasting life. There's a much greater life than this we're living that's coming for God's people. There's much more beyond the Jordan River than what's on this side of the Jordan River. There's much more to be happy about of our future than anything of our past or our present, because our future is sealed by God. This bread, verse 39, they said to him, Lord, give us this bread. Yeah, I want to live forever. I want this everlasting life. Lord, give me this bread. If all of us, if Walmart sold a magic pill that fixed your problem, I mean fixed it. They had a pill, a bottle that said joy, peace, break from addiction. Guaranteed. Break from fear, guaranteed. Hot body in 30 seconds, guaranteed. Hair growth on your head. If there was a bottle in Walmart that had everything labeled that you knew you could buy and it would fix it, we would be storming the shelves to buy it. Here is something that'll fix all of your problems. In one swallow. One pill. The gospel, right? One pill. We take this gospel. That's so corny. I heard it years ago. I didn't make that one up. I don't really make none of them up. We take this one pill and it fixes everything. They want this bread. Here's what he said. How do we get it? They ask. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Notice here, there is nothing in this verse talking about works we must do to achieve being filled of our hunger. He says, come, just come like you are and believe in who I am and watch what I will do. I came to give life to the world, not a life of misery and pain, but a life of eternity, a life of eternal breakthrough, eternal deliverance, a life of eternal peace, eternal joy. That's why I can be happy now, because I know where I'm going. That's why I have peace today, because I know where I'm going. That's why I have strength this moment, because I know where I'm going. And no matter what the news says, no matter what changed in our country, I know the one thing that won't change. I am, for now and forevermore, a child of God, and that doesn't change. I'm covered by His blood. I'm marked by His Spirit. I'm sealed with His holy promise, and the gates of hell can never take that away from me. It can't change it. Lord, open our eyes. They sung that song. Open our eyes to see You today. God, open the eyes of Your people this morning to see who You are in their lives. And we would not be afraid. When a child is afraid and then their parent comes to comfort them, all of a sudden they're not afraid. They have a bad dream at night. Mama goes to the room. Dad, whoever, goes to the room. They get in bed with them and they comfort them until they fall asleep. They trust You. Let's trust God. Let's trust this bread which came down from heaven. Verse 36, I said to you that you have seen Me and you believe not. All the Father giveth Me shall come to Me, and him that cometh to Me I will in no wise cast out. The Amplified says, will never, never reject anyone who follows Me. That's a guarantee we can't get in our school system or at our workplace, because there are folks that don't like you and they'll never like you no matter how you treat them or how you change. You're just stuck not liking you. There's kids that will reject you. There's people at work that won't have anything to do with you because of just who you are, and that's fine. But here's a Savior who promises He won't reject us. He won't come. He won't pull out the little background check and say, well, here's Gordon's life. And I don't know, if he hadn't done that felony 364B, I might could accept him. But man, that felony 364B, that knocks him out. And there's no felonies 364B, I don't think, right, Carrie? It knocks him out. I'm thankful that when we come to God like we are, in our drunkenness, in our evilness, in our doubt, in our sorrows, with all the stuff, as Melanie says, all of our wicked ways, God still loves us. That's a beautiful thing. We can't get that from people that even close in our lives sometimes. It's conditional love. I love my wife, but there's things she could do that would probably make me not love her. Can I get amen on that? I do love Melanie, but it's not really unconditional. I mean, if Melanie starts beating me at home and stuff and throwing me across the room, I'm not going to love her no more. I'm going to get me a woman that won't beat me, that'll love me and hold me and help correct my brokenness. I mean, I'm just saying, God doesn't reject us. But Pastor, I've cursed God. I've told Him He's not real. I blaspheme His name. I do all this stuff, man. I sleep around, I shoot up, I drink up, I cuss up, I gamble up, I whatever up you want to do. Just come to God. Here I am, Lord. I'm hungry. The reason that we are so miserable as a human race is because we're not allowing the living bread to fill us. We're trying to find it through other ways. Some of us are workaholics. We're workaholics, man. And the reason many people are just driven, and I'm a driven guy when it comes to work. Man, let me tell you that. But for many people, workaholics is a sign of trying to fill a void because they're missing something. We have things in our lives that are always pulling us away from the bread of life. And the bread of life is the only thing that satisfies us. He says, I came down from heaven, verse 38, not to do my will, but the will of Him that sent Me. And this is the Father's will. He's going to tell what it is. Here's why Jesus came. That of all which He gives Me, I should lose none of them. But I will raise them up again at the last day. I know I belong to God. Do I mess up? Yes. I make jokes all the time. I've sinned 3 times I've been saved, right? Of course not. I've sinned a lot more times than that. I sin daily. God loves me. I'm God's child. There's a promise here that says, because God called me, because I belong to Him, no matter what comes my way, in the last day, I will be raised up to be with Him forever and ever. We put a lot of emphasis on what we have to do to get God to love us. It's not like a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a mom or a dad or a brother or sister or a church member. We got to try sometimes to do stuff to prove, hey, do you love me? Have I done something good enough? Not you love me. Man, God loves. Here's what's amazing to me. Here's what's amazing to me. God doesn't love anyone more than anyone else, period. When God sees the blasphemic drunk in the gutter, his love for him is just as great as it was for, let's say, Billy Graham, right? Just as much. We walk by and wag our finger, and we wag our tongue, and we judge. But I'm so thankful that none of y'all are God, including me, because we would not be, we would be biased. I don't care what we say, we would be biased. Someone hurts us, the down button they go, right? Thank God he doesn't do that. Verse 40, this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone, which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. This tells me there is no death for the believer in Christ. There is no death for the children of God. He has promised everlasting life. The older that all of us become, the more we realize how short life is. I mean, I'll be celebrating a pretty big birthday next April. It's a birthday that I hope I make it to, of course. But I'm not happy about it. But I hope I make it, if that makes any sense. And it doesn't seem possible, because I still feel like that Scooby-Doo watching, Star Wars watching kid. And Melanie will say I act that way a lot. And I do. I was watching Rocky and Bullwinkle the other night on YouTube. Hey, Rocky, want to see me pull a rabbit out of my hat? Matt's like, you're really watching this? Well, I can't watch sports because there ain't none. I can't watch the news because there ain't none. So I got to have some kind of escape. So if I can watch Rocky and Bullwinkle for a little bit, my world's a lot better. I am so thankful there's more to life than Rocky and Bullwinkle, aren't you? I'm thankful there's more to life than what we see here. Let's skip down to verse 47. Thank you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is still Jesus talking. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Hallelujah. I am that bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat and not die. Church, this is not some mythical teaching. This is out of the Word of God by the words of our Savior himself. If you believe on me, if you accept my sacrifice for your life, you will not die. We are searching for ways to extend our life, and the more the world gets, the less interested I am in that. And I'm sitting here thinking, we spend so much time trying to extend our physical life, which is human nature to do that. But in the end, unless the Lord returns, all of our physical lives will be changed. It's what's next that matters. It's what's next that counts. This is why I have hope in a world of chaos, because my hope is not in what happens to me here in America. My hope is what's already happened to me on a cross at Calvary. My peace and my joy is not based on what I hear on TV or what people tell me or what they are doing. My peace and my joy is based on whom I serve. That's why on our sign out there, I changed it yesterday and I put it on one side, in God will I trust. I want the community as they pass by our church to see that sign and get that seed that the squirrel can't steal in their soul. In God will I trust. I will not trust in what's happening around me, but I do trust in what's happened in me. I'm not going to trust what they tell me. I'm going to trust what God has shown me. I'm not going to trust anybody's voice. I'm going to trust the voice of God. That's what I believe in. You may say, Pastor, you're trying to escape and have wishful thinking and escape the reality of what's happening. No, this is not our reality. It's a perception of reality, but this isn't our reality. If we could somehow, God could shine some kind of spiritual, transparent microscope through the atmosphere for right now in this room. If we could go through that wall, for instance, and God show us what's really happening around us, there's a whole spiritual world we can't see. There's a whole other realm, church, happening that is much more real than this. All of this is temporary. That's why we all age. No matter how good you may look for your age, when people tell you that, you got to really question their motives, right? Wow, you're 72. You look great for your age. But you know what? You're still 72, right? You're still that age. There's a whole realm that God has out there that's more real than this. So, no, it's not escaping a truth. It's not escaping reality. It's not a place to go and just say, well, you don't want to face. No, we're going to have tribulations and storms. We're going to have trials. The Bible speaks this throughout, right? 2 Timothy 3, read it. It's very relevant to today's world. 2 Timothy chapter 3 is very relevant to where we're at now. Men are lovers themselves more than God, blah, blah, blah. It gives a list of characteristics of mankind. And we're there. But the good news is I'm not drinking, so to speak, the Kool-Aid of this world. I'm eating the bread of that world. Man, God knew we'd be here. When 2020 hit, everybody doing their New Year's Eve parties and celebrations and getting drunk and hooking up, whatever they do, you know, whatever they're doing on New Year's Eve. You know, God knew what was coming, right? He knew what was coming. None of this is by accident, and none of what's happening is a oops moment from God where he was off duty or fell asleep. Ooh, I forgot we had a new year coming up. My bad. I wasn't watching. No, he's watching. And he knows. If I believe he's the God of the mountain, I've got to believe he's the God of the valley. If I believe he's the God of the good times, is the old song, right? I got to believe he's God of the bad times. He's God, period, no matter what I'm going through, no matter what season I'm in. You may not like all the four seasons of our earth. Mally hates winter. She hates winter. I enjoy winter. The only season, my least favorite season probably is spring because it's so just, it's cold one day and hot the next and, you know, and pollen, yes, and pollen. But just because you don't like a season don't mean God's not in that season. God is in winter, God is in spring, God is in summer, God is in fall. God is in everything of our lives, and I trust that he knows what he's doing. And my faith is not in what is going on. My faith is in whom I serve. I said this last week, I think it was Wednesday night maybe, I said that I really believe, I believe the church and the voice of the real church is going to be very important right now. I think the voice of the church needs to rise up and remind all of us what's real and what's not. This is real. And this is what I trust. It doesn't mean we don't get sick. I'm not one of those preachers say, oh, I can't believe I got sick. I'm a child of God. I understand sickness comes. Death comes. I've laid my hands on people and prayed by the power of God. I prayed according to the Spirit of God. I've anointed them with oil, and I believed, and they died. It's happened. It doesn't change my faith in God. Because I'm not God. And I want you to think about this next time you pray for someone. This came to me several years ago. This came to my spirit. You could be praying for someone in the hospital. Well, used to, you could. You can't right now, but hopefully one day we can do that again. You go to the hospital room, and you lay your hands on someone, and you pray. Maybe they're praying for God to take them home. I want you to think about this. Teresa has had a lot of health issues. She's, last several years, has had more than her share. And I know there's probably times you've thought, Teresa, Lord, in fact, we talked about it Wednesday night a little bit. I'm ready to go home. And if that's what you want, I'm okay with that. I think we get to a point in our lives, some of us are tired of the pain to the point we're laying there saying, Lord, I just want to go home. I'm ready to go home. I'm tired of suffering. I'm tired of being, I think about Sweet Beulah, those last few years, how she was constantly in the hospital, constantly. I was visiting her all the time. She'd get out for a few days, go back. Be out for a few weeks, go back. Be out for a few weeks, go back. Struggle breathing, just so much, just suffering. You don't know what they're praying. Maybe in her, Beulah's heart, she was laying there saying, Lord, I know they're praying for me to live, but my family's good. They know I love them. They're going to be okay. You're their God. I'm ready to come see you, Lord. See, God honors our prayer too, right? And my whole point of saying this is I trust God no matter what. I trust him. It doesn't diminish my faith. And see, we've been preached that or taught that. Well, if you had more faith, they'd have rose up and walked. If you had more faith, they wouldn't have died. If you had more faith, that would... No. You don't know what they are seeking God for. So, Lord, remember how he teaches how to pray? Lord, your will be done in heaven as it is in earth. Do we really mean that when we pray, or do we force our will? Lord, I pray your will be done, but I really want this $1 million. Lord, I pray your will be done. I'm seeking you about buying this car. And Lord, speak to me. Speak to me and let your will be done. And then the song comes on the radio. Drive, baby, drive. I don't know, whatever it is. Oh, thank you, Lord. That might not be his will. We can make his will become our will with our thinking. Sometimes God's will isn't what we want. But if we pray that, we should desire that, because his will is the best way for our lives, I promise you, even though we don't always understand it. He says in verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live how long? Forever. Forever. If you'll eat of me, you'll trust me, you'll believe in me, you will live forever. The bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. This Jesus is not just for some people, it's for all people. It's not just for certain people, it's for all people. It's not just for the ones that look the part, walk the part, talk the part, act the part. It's for all people. It's for the ones that look this way, act this way, walk. It's for all people. All of us. The blood was shed for all of us. All of humanity, all over the world, this blood was shed. There is no respect of persons with God when it comes to his love. Oh, I love that about him. It is truly unconditional. The story of the prodigal son, do you remember that? He went out and he lived his life in a bad, evil way, blew his father's inheritance, disappointed his father, let his father down, ran off, didn't write home, didn't do nothing, just took off from his father's home and did his thing. But the moment the son returned home, he had a whole speech rehearsed of what he's going to say. I'm going to say, Daddy, I sinned against you and I sinned against heaven. And Lord, don't make me a son, just make me a servant again in the household as long as I can come home. But before he could even get the words out of that speech, when the father saw his son coming home, the father ran and met him and kissed him on the cheek and held him and hugged him and had a party, killed a calf, and they partied. Church, they had a celebration because he said, my son who was dead is now alive. My son who was lost is now found. This is the God we serve. It's not based on what we do. It's based on who he is. God is love, period. That's the definition of God. He is love with no boundaries, with no expectations. I don't have to do certain things to stay in the good, loving graces of God. He loves me regardless. He loves me regardless. I don't have to do 10 Holy Ghost jumping jacks. I don't have to do 10 altar call push-ups. I don't have to do, thank God, 40 days of fasting for God to love me more. That's the kind of love he has for you. And here's another thing. How you feel toward him doesn't change how he feels toward you. Man, that's hard to fathom. God can't love me because I really don't believe in him, or I don't love him, or I don't know. I can take him or leave him, or I don't know. He's a party pooper kind of God. You know, I can't do nothing fun, you know. No matter how you feel toward God, he loves you. He proved it here when he came down from heaven and gave his flesh on the cross. What verse are we on? 52. The Jews said among themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" And Jesus said, "I say unto you, except you eat the flesh, the Son of Man, and drink his blood, you have no life in you." Now this sounds kind of odd, right? Ooh, what is he talking about? Eating his flesh and drinking his blood? That's kind of creepy. He's talking about his flesh being crucified on the cross, his blood being spilt for your redemption. Unless you believe that this Jesus is the sacrificial Lamb of God for the world, and the blood being spilt is covering and forgiving you of all your trespasses. One place David says, there'll be a day he'll remove my sins as far as the east is from the west. He will remember my iniquities no more. Man, that's hard to believe. We serve a God who says, I'm not holding against you what you've done or where you've been. I'm no longer holding that as a card in front of you like preachers do and religious folks do and church folks do, always reminding you how short you are, how much you failed, how bad, how evil, how wicked, how low. That's not Jesus. That's not him at all. He holds us up with his right arm saying, I will remember your sins and iniquities no more. Your slate has been clean. You have been washed white as snow. You no longer have the stench or the stink of sin and death anymore. That's the God we serve. And I am thankful that he's my God. And I'm thankful for that unconditional love. This is the bread. This is something we can believe in because everything else is going to pass away. It says here in verse 54, whosoever eateth my flesh, drinketh my blood, hath eternal life. I will raise him up at the last day. We're going on through 58. Does it go straight through? Okay, 55. For my flesh is meat indeed, my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh, drinketh my blood, dwelleth in me, and I in him. And the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so that he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. And look at verse 58. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your father did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. I'm so thankful there's a hope for us beyond this. This, if we would eat this bread, it would help mental illness. It would help emotional absence. It would help frustrations and fears and depression and anger. If we could really wrap our minds around this and receive this truth in our heart that, Lord, you came to give me life. So no matter what this life may look like, no matter what this life may say, no matter what happens in this life, it's not my forever life. Oh, my forever life is yet to come. You have prepared a place for me, Lord, by your own hand, by your own word, by your own design. You said in Revelations that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. How do I know I'm a child of God? I'm an overcomer. How am I an overcomer? By the word of God, by the word of my testimony, I know I'm an overcomer. I'm thankful for this living bread. It satisfies. I'm not going to read those next scriptures, Brandon, but I want to paraphrase just for time's sake. In Genesis 25 is a very short story of two brothers, Esau and Jacob. And Esau was a hunter. And his father loved Esau and his more than his brother, the Bible says. And the mother loved Jacob more. And his father loved Esau because he was a great hunter, and he would bring all this great meat in and vintage in and cook it up and cook for his dad. Well, one day, he was out hunting. He was hungry. Jacob had a little bit of pottage he had cooked, a little bit of food, a little oatmeal, whatever you want to call it, something. Had some soup. He was so hungry. He said, "Give me some, brother. I'm hungry." Jacob says, "I tell you what, I'll give you some if you'll sell me your birthright." What? Sell your birthright? And the Bible goes on to talk about to Esau at that moment, that wasn't important. What was important was the hunger he was feeling in that moment. Now, what was so big about selling the birthright? In that custom, in that day, the person who had the birthright got a double portion of daddy's money. He got double. Well, Esau did sell his birthright. He made a verbal oath. He swore to Jacob. He swore unto God, "Yes, I give you my birthright." He traded a future inheritance for a pot of soup. How many of us are missing out on something much greater that we could be walking in because we're satisfying the appetite of what's now. What's now? Food perishes. Things this world pass away. You can go out on a Saturday night and do all the things that you think are fun, and maybe they're not always sinful things, but, you know, there's things to, you know, we have terms like, I know Melly used it a few weeks ago, having some retail therapy. Retail therapy, right? That means I'm shopping and I'm liking it. I'm having some stress relief by going and getting some clothes. Mine would be eating therapy, I would say. The more I eat, the more I'm happy. We do things like that to try to find some joy in life. But all of those things pass away. There'll be a day Melanie will take those clothes that were her retail therapy and Goodwill will get them. Huh? I know that. No, I don't know that. She's not. It's a big deal for her. I'm just using an example. There's a day that McDonald's may close. There's no more Big Mac, quarter pounder with cheese, onion, lettuce, mustard, extra pickles on a sesame seed bun. There's no more two fried apple pies for $1 sweet tea. All gone. Bojangles, shut down. All gone. We've already seen Ruby Tuesdays go. No more salad bar. Bye-bye, Ruby Tuesday. See you Wednesday. That was terrible. I'm so sorry. JB's hot dog. JB may die one day. Nobody picks up the hot dog business. No longer the world's greatest footlong, right? It went out of business. JB's no more. JB's is gone. We're seeing malls close right now, right? Malls are closing down. You know, it's hard to find a good mall anymore. They're closing down. Things that bring us pleasure will all, they don't remain. But this bread remains. Esau sold a future inheritance to fill his belly in a now moment. God's got something more for you than just now. If you're afraid today, if you're upset today, if you're tormented today, if you're searching today for something to satisfy your life, I can promise you, I've been on the earth long enough. I'm not old, but I'm old enough. And I've had enough experience to realize the only true peace, actually shared this on a Facebook post a couple days ago, something similar, but the only true peace, the only true joy we have is found in Jesus Christ. Because I'm telling you something, when you're at death's door and you see the face of God, what a glorious thing to know this isn't it. When someone goes in the ground, that's not it. Someone's laying in a casket, no, that's not it. Oh, there's so much more. And I'm thankful for that. Come up here and play a little something, Marjorie. You can stop that if you would, too. Guys, we're going to stop our Facebook Live. We're going to have an altar call this morning, and so we want to make that personal for our church. So God bless you. Happy Sunday to all of you watching on Facebook.